You know I wasn't gonna forget about y'all. I know y'all thought that y'all was in the clear, but I ain't forget about you. I did not forget about you. No, I didn't. Chicago. You thought that I forgot about you? Notice of assessment taxable value. Let's see what they got going on out here in these streets. Y'all thought that I forgot about y'all? I heard y'all was over there being disrespectful to police officers again. I heard y'all was over there being disrespectful to police officers again. Is that true? That's not good. That's not good. My property taxes went up. 2024 inflation rate multiplier is, wow. Assessed valuable, value, taxable value. The change in taxable value will increase your tax bill this year by approximately only $254. This property is classified as residential condominiums. Anyways, let's continue. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. Apparently, Chicago got to be brought to the front of the congregation, and that's what we're going to do.
Judy, a large police presence remains here on the scene some 3 hours after this shooting occurred. Police investigators are looking for witnesses who can help fill in the blanks of this incident. We are told at this point that two suspects may have been involved in this and that they are looking for them right now. According to a tweet from Alderman Timmy Knutson, in this ward, an off-duty CPD sergeant, fired his firearm at two offenders in the alley of the 2700 block of North Halsted. On-duty officers responded quickly, but no arrest has been made at this time. That's the end of that quote. That is the same narrative that we are hearing, however, from police sources as well. It sounds like the officer fired one shot in the direction of the offenders but did not hit anyone. This is a very busy neighborhood with a number of stores and restaurants as well up and down the street. We talked to one of the store owners.
We have to keep our door locked a lot. It's just a big city, no matter what city you're in. If you're in Paris, New York, Kansas City, small rural areas have a lot of crime too. So I think no matter where you live, you just have to keep your eyes open and, you know who's around you.
You're making an excuse, ma'am. Let me tell you something. You know it's bad when certain people that's supposed to be in a halfway decent neighborhood, they can't get out. They can't get out. It's over. When they can't get out and now you stuck, that's when things start to get dicey. It started to get a little tricky because, you know, people are used to being able to make the adjustment. Oh, man, it's bad over here. We got to get out of here. We got to do this. If I see a certain demographic of people even starting to move into my building, I'll be like, As I'm getting my car valeted, I'll ask a question. I haven't seen it yet, but I'll ask the question. I'll be like, hey, so they just visiting? Oh, yeah, they just visiting. They're not actually buying nothing. They just visiting. They just want to try to take a tour. Oh, okay, they're just being nosy. I got you. They want to see what's happening in the streets. When I see a certain element that even come into my vicinity, maybe we need to increase how much we paying for what we got going on over here because we want to keep a certain element out. I ain't smelled not one piece of weed smoke in my building. I ain't seen nothing. Not nothing. Now, you know that it started getting bad when certain people is trying to sell you on the idea that, oh, man, crime happens everywhere. You just got to keep your head on the swivel. That's not what they used to say. That's not what they used to say. They didn't used to say, you know what white flight is? What white flight happened in Detroit? When black people started moving into Detroit because it was coming up in order to get the factory jobs, especially when it came to the automotive industry, very, very early in the 50s and the 60s and stuff like that. And then when you had the 67 riots, that was it. Because white people was already starting to move out. And they was like, you know what? We're not about to be dealing with this element because these people don't even know nothing yet. Right? And so what happened was the 67 riots happened and the city just went on a 40-year decline after that. 50-year decline. It wasn't until after 2008 when we got Granholm out of office and some things started changing. Then that's when you start seeing a 10 to 15 year transition from a resurgence, or, you know, as a result of a resurgence, into it being what it is today. But it had to go all the way down, just like a regular person. It had to go all the way down before you could start to get everybody. Because, see, what happened was you had white flight. The people from all of the white residents, 67 riots happened. People burned down all of their own neighborhoods. They burned down the whole city. People moved out. All of the white people went out. They left the city. They went all into the suburbs. They built up the suburbs. Black people was like, you know what? Let me follow white people out here because this is where the money is, or this is where all of the awesomeness is. And instead of them taking care of their own neighborhoods and then taking advantage of the fact that they was the blackest city in the United States of America, they fumbled the bag, right? So then the property values went down. The city filed for bankruptcy. We got new mayors. We got new city council. We got new everything. We got new business owners. Dan Gilbert decided that he wanted to make his headquarters in Detroit. They moved all of their employees from Quicken Loans in there. They got contracts from Microsoft, Google, to then basically become a technology hub. Ford Motor Company decided that they wanted to reinvest in the city. Jeep decided to build a plant there. All of the teams moved back in. All of the buildings, all of the abandoned buildings got torn down or redeveloped. They started building new cities. When Kwame Kilpatrick was in office, he spearheaded the casinos and rebuilding the entire Riverwalk. If you look it up today, it's voted the number one Riverwalk in the entire nation. It's the number one Riverwalk in the entire nation. All of the white people moved in. Downtown started to have a resurgence. It started to spread outward. You've seen the Livernois Corridor or the Avenue of Fashion starting to change. Sherwood Forest came back. It's one of the most expensive neighborhoods in the city. And then everything else started to benefit from it as a result of it. So now you see black people saying, oh my God, it's gentrified. They not even doing affordable housing, or you have to allocate so many units as affordable housing because developers are not even looking for incentives to build the buildings like the building that I'm in right now. They now are saying, you know what? We just going to build it, and we want a certain element and a certain demographic. And if you can't afford to be there, if you can't afford to be here in the inception, then we just going to get you up out of there. And so you just going to have to live on the outskirts and then commute in and then go home. And that's exactly what's happening in Chicago. You see it happening right now before our very eyes. It's happening in Chicago. Chicago is doing like this, and it's been doing like this for years. It's going through the same transition that other cities have been through. It's going all the way down. They sold their streets. They don't even own their streets no more. They continue to vote in the worst mayors of all time. You know, people are moving out, people running from the city, tax base is getting absolutely destroyed, property taxes is going up like crazy, crime is rampant, removing police officers, they can't even do their jobs no more. Now, you see this, and off-duty officers on a regular basis, what we starting to see in Chicago is off-duty officers are now regularly getting carjacked. It's not a week that goes by that I don't at some point read about an off-duty officer attempted carjacking in Chicago. If I'm wrong, where? How? Who, what, when, where, why, and how? If I'm wrong, who, what, when, where, why, and how?
We began with an off-duty police sergeant opening fire. It unfolded in the middle of the day and drew a massive police presence to Lincoln Park. Casey Cronus is live there with the latest tonight. Casey.
Don and Scott, this was still a very active scene here until about an hour ago when the last police command unit left. Now the Civilian Office of Police Accountability is investigating. On a busy afternoon in Lincoln Park, where sidewalks rarely see a break from foot traffic.
The first thing I saw was a lot of helicopters.
A shooting involving an off-duty officer is leaving neighbors stunned.
Well, it's really shocking. You know, this area, Lakeview, Lincoln Park, you know, we think of it as very safe.
Just before 3:30 p.m.
Nope. Don't matter what you think of it like. They got the goons out now.
We're told a police sergeant who was not working at the time was driving northbound in an alley near Halsted and Diversey when police say two people were running toward his car. Officials say one of them had a handgun.
I wouldn't be overly surprised if it was 3:30 a.m., but the afternoon is really strange.
They not waiting. It's 3:30 p.m., and they're carjacking sergeants and what is supposed to be the nice or the nicer part of town. See, you thought that it was just at 3:30 a.m. No, it's 3:30 p.m. Daytime. Shoe program. 23-hour lockdown.
Police say the 51-year-old off-duty officer got out and fired one shot. The two individuals ran.
And my landlord called me and said, can you go look in the alley? I heard there was a shooting back there.
Geneva Curran owns Halstead Flowers. Her business connects to that alley.
We're always in the alley. We take out our recycling. We empty our trash and we cut down the alley.
It's also where Eric McCann had taken his dog for a walk minutes earlier.
You kind of have to keep your head on a swivel at all times in Chicago.
At Halstead and Schubert, Janet Tunyon was preparing to open Alive One, a local bar, and heard the gunshot.
The whole city is experiencing so much trauma with all this.
Look at all these white folks. Look at these white folks with a W. W, white folk, H-W. H-W-Y-T-E. These white folks are scared now because you can't outrun it. Ain't nowhere else to go because you can't afford to go nowhere else. See, inflation kicked all of y'all butts. And while y'all was trying to figure it out and y'all thought that y'all was getting good jobs, the criminals was doing the same thing. And then they realized, wait a minute, we can get out to where you at. And we gonna move into your neighborhood. And we gonna smoke weed. And we gonna raise pit bulls in the front yard. And we gonna carjack police officers at 3:30 p.m. in the daytime.
It's violence and it's really sad.
No one was injured in the shooting and no one is in custody.
And nobody is in custody. That's the key. Nobody is ever in custody in Chicago. Nobody is ever in custody in Chicago. Nobody is identified. Nobody is in custody. Everybody just get around. Migrants ain't in custody. Black people ain't in custody. White people ain't in custody. Criminals ain't in custody. Nobody knows nothing. Nobody seen nothing. Nobody can spot nobody. Nobody knows what the heck is going on until somebody just end up unidentified and missing. Nobody is ever, even a police officer, getting shot at and possibly carjacked. Nobody is ever in custody. Nobody. Nope, Jovan, you got it spelled wrong. It's not H-W-I-T-E. It's H-W-Y-T-E. H-W-Y-T-E. White folks are starting to suffer now, so you know it's an issue. But you know what the funniest part about it is? As little police officers as they have, and as much crime is going on, even in their schools, guess what they decided to do? Remove police officers from the school. Chicago is removing police officers, and your children not even safe no more.
Getting the money and reinvesting it by getting all these programs, nursing programs, culinary arts, all these programs for these students so they don't have to go outside of high school, outside of resources just to become the person they want to be when they grow up.
Mixed reaction to a much anticipated decision after much debate. The Chicago Board of Education votes to remove school resource officers from schools by the next school year. Okay, we've seen rallies for and against the safety plan resolution for months. Now here we are. Dr. Joyce Kinner, one of the most respected voices in education here in Chicago, sitting here down with me this morning to react to this controversial vote. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Let's hop right into this. So many people are talking about it. To many, this was not a surprise because Mayor Brandon Johnson, even as a candidate, was in support of this. The CTU was behind it. What's your initial response to the vote?
My initial response was I've always been adamantly against removing police officers from the schools. Mm-hmm. And I would say that if you've never sat in the seat of a principal, never been an administrator of a school, you have no idea what we go through every single day to try to keep our kids safe. For 27 years as principal of Whitney Young High School, every day I would go home and say, I made it through another day without a child getting hurt at our school.
That's crazy. That's crazy. For 27 years, you basically in prison. You're in prison because you're thanking God. And this is your norm. We've become so desensitized and it's become our norm to where people have to thank God that nobody got hurt that day just because y'all going into an institution for learning. Jesus Christ.
And I just truly believe that police officers should not have been removed. Mm-hmm. I think it should have been a local decision, school decision. Mm-hmm. Whitney Young is different than other schools.
Yes.
Other schools are different than Whitney Young. And I just think that it should have been a local school decision whether or not a school needed police officers or not.
Yeah, 3 decades that you spent, the bulk of there at Whitney Young, so respected here in the community. We've never seen a send-off quite like yours.
Thank you.
But it is true that educators here in Chicago have a bigger job than just the books in educating our students. So in recent weeks, we have seen children walk outside of school in the middle of the day and die in shootings in multiple instances. We're talking about life or death types of things here. So do you think this vote instead of resource officers, it was built on favor?
Look at the signs in the back. Look at the signs in the back. I thought y'all wanted to defund the police. I thought y'all wanted to remove the people. I thought y'all wanted people to come in and to negotiate with the criminals. I thought that this was what y'all wanted. It was coming anyway because all of the money is going to fund the migrant crisis. All of the money and all of the resources is going to outside companies that's not even in Chicago, that's not even in Illinois. They have hundreds and billions of dollars, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars that's going to outside companies that's being funneled outside of the city on behalf of the residents. Y'all pay all y'all property taxes, which is crazy, and it's going outside of the city to fund the migrant crisis, and they got to cut back. They got to cut back on police officers. They campaigned for this. Listen, I remember when this campaign was happening and Lori Lightfoot was in office and we was right here on the Millionaire Morning Show and I evaluated all of the candidates and I went through all of their credentials and what they were standing on from a policy perspective. And the thing about it is that Brandon Johnson campaigned on behalf of this. So this is not new news. All he doing is following through on what his campaign promise is. So if his campaign promise was, listen, I am going to do this, and Chicagoans overwhelmingly voted for him into office, this is not a surprise. This is not new. He told you what he was going to do. He executed on what it is that he said that he was going to do. You voted for it. You protested against it, against the thing that was best for you. And now you got it. So what y'all rallying for? What are y'all rallying for? What are we negotiating here? What are we sitting? What are we talking about? Y'all going to move to Peoria? This is what y'all wanted. You got it. So what's the issue?
Bring a more holistic approach to school safety. What do you think needs to be included in that?
I think it definitely needs to be included in terms of voices of the school stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find out what principals think.
Yeah.
You have to find out what students think. You have to find out what teachers think and school staff thinks about school safety. Mm-hmm. And again, all issues are different at each individual school.
Mm-hmm.
And so to look at it holistically, you have to get your stakeholders involved in the decisions that you make relative to a school and what happens in a particular school.
Yeah, a lot of the fight in terms of removing the officers had to do with keeping kids out of what's been built as a school-to-prison pipeline. Do you think that this will achieve that?
I definitely do not. I just think that we need to focus in on our students, and you say holistic, a holistic approach to what we are doing with students. And obviously safety is a big issue with that holistic mm-hmm. approach. And we just need to have the school stakeholders buy into what we are talking about and have an opportunity for a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
At Whitney Young, I brought as many students as I could into a theater with my 2 police officers, and the students were able to sit there and ask our police officers any questions that they wanted to ask.
Mm-hmm.
I've always shared with them, as long as it was respectful,
yeah.
you're able to ask those questions. And so they were able to ask the police officers, number one, why are you here? What is your role? What do you think the benefit of you being here in this institution is? And it just was a wonderful exchange of ideals. Mm-hmm. I've always also believed the police officers' responsibilities are not for discipline. They are for school safety. And sometime I would call the police officers down to my office to ask them about what their thoughts about X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. But they were not there to discipline a student. That was left up to the administrators in the school. Mm-hmm. So I just think that people need to identify what the needs are for those resource officers or police officers, and then we move forward. Mm-hmm.
She's too smart. People like this will never be appreciated. And fortunately, she's actually spitting. You know, very rarely do you get a woman that was in a leadership role to give you the type of insight that she's giving you right now. And she's spitting. I got to give credit where credit is due. She absolutely spitting and she's telling the truth. And the truth is that you need safety. You need a presence of safety. You need people to understand that there's going to be consequences if you do something wrong. And in Chicago, and you know Brandon Johnson ain't going to do nothing, but he just going to remove himself. Chicago is ground zero. I hate to say it right now. It's ground zero. It's ground zero for the worst things that's happening culturally into our society. And I don't think it's going to get better. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.